Have you ever been near a fire that suddenly blazed out of control? It's surprising to me, Karen, how many people have such a memory.
These aren't fires where anyone's injured or killed, but they're scary anyway because we see the potential of fire in them and we remember. Yeah, I remember that.
Welcome to the Before We Go podcast featuring Dr. David Maines and his wife, noted author Karen Maines. Here's David and Karen Maines.
Maybe you were burning leaves and a puff of wind carried some of those embers to a field and caught the underbrush, and fortunately you were able to race there and stomp it out before the fire spread, but it was scary.
Yeah, scary. I remember at Christmas time, I'm always tempted to take the old greens and burn them in the fireplace.
Okay, I know where you're headed.
The cut greens, not the Christmas tree. And oh my goodness, those dry greens can just flame up so fast. I still burn them in the fireplace, but I put very small pieces of the branches in at a time.
Just boom.
Just out. Mm-hmm. It could be out of control. In fact, I think we still have some scarring, some smoke scarring above the fireplace in the living room from my little episode with that. So
yeah, usually with that, you also get the smoke alarms.
All four of them in warning chorus all over the house.
You're waving you can't towels miss it. Whatever, trying to
clear the air underneath each one of them.
Yeah, what we're going through, or even in our memories can go through, is nothing, Karen, compared to what's happening in our western states.
Oh my goodness, yes.
We're talking about Arizona, New Mexico, Nevada, those, but most of all in California. Number of wildfires in California have been in the thousands. Tens of thousands of people have been evacuated from some of those areas. The fire season, some people think it's over. It's not over. In fact, the autumn winds, which will be coming, because we're in that season now, will be an added factor. They can't control the direction that the winds are going to be
blowing.
And
sometimes don't always know. They seem to change. Coming down off the mountains, there's a system that is variable.
Like those winds, which can suddenly switch direction, I want to change where we're headed by reading a text from an ancient book. Here's the sentence. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark.
Now, this writer didn't say, consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small match, because centuries ago they didn't have matches. The writer is believed to be the son of Joseph and Mary, and therefore the half-brother of our Lord Jesus himself. His name was James.
Yeah, he's a prominent figure in the book of Acts. And of course, there's the epistle of James that comes right after Hebrews in the New Testament. Let me read what I read before, and then also just a few sentences that follow. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. It's pretty pointed in terms of what he's saying.
Well, Dave, I have been known to have some trouble with my tongue in the past. And so that pushed me to write a book on tongue trouble. The title of the book is Medicine for Mouth Disease, A Miracle Cure for Troublesome Tongues. The whole premise of the book is based in what Scripture says about the tongue. And as I was studying the Scripture, because I had tongue trouble, or if you want to put it more succinctly, mouth disease, I just went to the Scripture and I discovered that the Scripture has as much to say, more, I think, really, about the use of the tongue and the danger of the misuse of the tongue than almost any other topic. There are dozens and dozens and dozens of Scripture, as is my habit when I'm trying to work in an area in my own life that needs help. I'll write out all the Scriptures I can find. And the book has a whole section, it's a devotional that's designed to help people cure themselves of tongue disease, but it's only from Proverbs. 30 days readings from Proverbs and what it has to say about the tongue.
I think it's important also to say, Karen, that this is a serious problem of tongue in America. In fact, it's called lying. People don't like to have someone say to them, you're a liar. we're careful, but what we now call this sin of lying, we call it spin doctors.
And we see it a lot in our political discourse on all levels, not just the national level, but on all the way down to local government.
Well, you're talking about fact checkers.
Fact.
So no matter what someone says, someone will come along and say, we're going to fact check. And I think now we're to the place where we have fact checkers on the fact checker.
You and I were contrasting this with an earlier, older generation. We didn't have so many sources of news or news opinion. You had your major networks, ABC, NBC, CBS, and they had a gravitas about them. And I think there was a high regard for what the meaning of journalism was at that time. Not that there wasn't slanted journalism or opinionated journalism, but there was a standard in which you attempted to get the true story.
I think when you tuned into Edward R. Murrow or
right.
Walter Cronkite, or you didn't expect to get spin.
Yeah.
You expected to get an accurate assessment of what was actually happening.
Whereas now, as we've said before on the podcast, we have so many sources of information. Many of them are not based in respect of fact. They are spinning. They're promoting. They're influencing. Their motivation for telling anything is to influence or persuade. So we lose what the aspect of truth is in our news reporting in a way that it's very hard to distinguish what is actually the truth. So, and generally what we do is we go with the news outlet that enhances the opinion we already hold, instead of saying, okay, well, let's see what the other side has to say, and going into that with an open mind to hear what it is that they have to say that will help frame us, inform us in our thinking.
I think the spinning, it's an attempt to cover the truth. It's devious and at the same time sounds like truth, but it puts the emphasis on what isn't really the factual thing that is going on. I think that on a larger scale, we cover it or we say it in ways that aren't exactly what people want to hear as far as the facts are concerned. And it's just something that I'm very sad as to where it's going. I want to take it out of the culture and I want to put it into our world, okay?
But this is the only world that we can hope to influence or to share our thoughts with, or what we believe scripture is teaching. And it's the world that I think has the potential for the most impact. If it would just recognize the fact that we are given to salt society, the church, the people who follow Christ are to be the salt of society in this day where there is such angry discourse, in this day when there is such name calling. These things are really forbidden in scripture. So those of us who are Christian need to look and re-examine our hearts and say, am I getting swept up into this kind of verbiage that's going on in our culture that is strictly forbidden in scripture? And Christ himself taught that we were not to be this way.
Let's just give a list of some of the sins of the tongue that are spoken of in scripture and that are very prominent in today's world. Lying is one of them.
The top one.
I would say that another one close behind in terms of our culture where there's been an immense change is in the area of profanity. That's all through the media now. It's not dirty tongues, but you pick it up all the time and you say, you didn't have to use that. They didn't strike it out as they used to do. Gossip. I think we border on gossip in many, many areas. Name calling. It's crazy. On an adult level, it sounds like little kids in some ways. Finger pointing. Here's one that I picked up in scripture. In fact, Karen, last night I was going to sleep and I was just trying to think, what are these sins of the tongue that we need to be talking about? Mocking. They mocked Jesus. It just breaks my heart. But it's a big part of the culture today. Belittling. These words, I can say them so quickly, but they have terrible pain connected with them. Blaming and shaming. That's a big part of our world. It starts when people are little sometimes. And I think little kids, they tease until somebody's crying. And they tattle. They poke fun. Here's a word that recently has come into my experience that I haven't run into before, which is rage. I saw a person who was totally out of control, and the words were just coming out with anger, terrible, terrible anger.
Uncontrolled anger.
Uncontrolled, yeah.
So it is a time when we really need to be very, very careful with the way we use our words. We need to be very conscious of how words can wound and cause damage. We need to think before we speak hastily.
Yeah, I think we need to reflect, which I want us to do right now. We need to reflect on our own lives.
Okay.
And I'm thinking back at a time where I'm humiliated to think of something I said that was untrue. In fact, this is a memory that goes back probably 25 years. And even as I'm thinking about what I said now about someone, my body's reacting because I can't believe that I did that. It is so shameful to me. And I think we need to personalize that because as we talk these things, people are responding to the flaws in their own lives. Uh-huh. I don't want this to be a negative thing. I want it to be a positive thing. Can you remember a time like that in your life?
Well, I think when you and I were young, newly married, we had a reformer spirit. And reformers are always uncomfortable or dissatisfied with what is, the things that exist, and they see what's not working and what's wrong about it. So there is an analytical process that says, this is not working, it can be better. But the problem is for reformers that it often slips into judgment and impatience and everything that we've just mentioned, actually. Mm-hmm. But I think that was very much a part of our lives as we were younger. I think that judgment of our elders, and things did need to change. The church was becoming very irrelevant in certain ways. The church is always in need of generational reformation. So yeah, I think that there was a lot that we were party to verbally that if we had been older and wiser, would not have taken that kind of approach. One of the scriptures that impresses me is the one that Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of the good measure of his heart speaks mm-hmm. forth good, and the evil one out of the evil measure of his heart speaks forth evil. It's a great way to analyze where our leaders or public figures are coming from just by the way they use words. We want to be careful that we don't trust those who misuse words a great deal because of what Scripture says here. But we also need to hold one another to the standard that they begin to speak goodness out of the good intent, the good soul, the good place in their heart, and to look for those people who have that capacity to speak blessing. I mean, may not be Christians or speaking in a Christian context, let's put it that way, but can speak blessing into our culture. But because this culture is so needy of that right now.
Yes, I agree.
It's a healing gift that we can bring to the disenfranchisement that's going on.
This is James earlier in this book. I read from chapter 3. This is from chapter 1. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. I'm going to try to put into a sentence what it is we're saying. Here it is. Keep a tight rein on your tongue, because it is like a blaze set on fire by hell that does great damage.
So what the metaphor we're using here is to think of the California fire. The tongue has that kind of potential. And yeah. Particularly in a media age where things can be said and then telecast or broadcast or podcasted to hundreds of thousands of people who are listening. So that is an important principle.
I'll say the sentence again, and even as I do it, I'm hoping that that has been the result of this podcast, mm-hmm. that we're helping people and not pointing fingers mm-hmm. or anything of that sort. Keep a tight rein on your tongue, because it is like a blaze set on fire by hell that does great damage. I think we've analyzed the problem a lot. I wish we could come more to practical help.
Okay, I can do that. Having recognized that there was some tongue trouble in my own life, one of the things I did was I went through Proverbs in every single chapter and wrote out every single reference there was to the tongue. It was amazing. And then I put them into a daily devotional that goes for 30 days that I used on myself. It starts with the scripture, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And the things I referred to in my own life, I've asked for the blood of Jesus
yeah.
to wash those away. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Do I say words of affirmation? Do I give words as gifts? Do I keep my word?
I want to bring what we're talking about to a close in a special way. In regard to the wildfires in mm-hmm. California, I notice in the reporting that there are some wonderful little stories that are coming out of the goodness of people, which is what we're wanting to emphasize, about people who are doing gracious things, even in the midst of terrible, terrible times of
neighbors,
fires.
Yeah, yeah. Extraordinary stories.
Really. Yeah, caring for one another.
Right.
You know, someone who's lost a house, that's a huge thing that has happened.
Swept up all in a fire that couldn't be contained. Yeah.
Yeah. And now, you know, neighbors who are saying, let us care for you, come here. I don't know why, but ours was spared. You know, here's food. There was one report of a house that's the animal house, which is
the pet house.
The pet house. That's a better way. You know, dogs and cats, you know, you got enough problems without having to worry about
your pets. Yeah.
Bring them over here and we're taking care of them. Those are lovely little touches of what is going on. And Karen, one of the most beautiful aspects of those firefighting stories are some of the best firefighters are people who have been in jail, who have learned the trade of firefighting.
Have been trained to be firefighters.
These are not the people who are desperate risks.
Have committed violent crimes.
But these people are on the crews that they give the worst of the situations to. They're wonderful. The stories are wonderful about what these convicts are doing in terms of their bravery. You're in this terrible situation of fighting fires, exhaustion. Sometimes they talk about people, they finish a shift and they just stretch out on the ground and go to sleep right away because they are so totally spent. And they're glad for it, but they're also learning a vocation.
But their lives have meaning. You know, all of a sudden when you've just been whiling away time, all of a sudden your life has meaning. That's extraordinary,
honey. I think
they're
wonderful stories. I would like for us in our discussions to bring about wonderful stories.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want any of the finger pointing or the accusations or why aren't we better? Did you see what he said? You know, mm-hmm. none of that. I just want us to say, let us be those who help raise this to a whole new level where we are Christian, mm-hmm. where we are Christ-like. In the words of our mouths, the meditation of our heart, let it be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord,
mm-hmm.
our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen, David.
You've been listening to the Before We Go podcast. And if you would like to write to us, please send us an email at the following address, hosts@beforewego.show. That's all lowercase letters, hosts@beforewego.show. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please remember to rate, review, and share on whatever platform you listen. This podcast is copyright 2025 by Mainstay Ministries, Post Office Box 30, Wheaton, Illinois 60187.